Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Hey there, folks. Welcome back to Amazing FBA. Today, we are talking to Dylan Frost of The Wholesale Formula, and we're really diving into a topic close to my heart today, which is comparing Amazon wholesale sourcing model to the Amazon private label model. So in other words, Amazon wholesale sourcing is when you buy an existing set of products, so product but times whatever, 100 units, 500 units, whatever it is, from an existing brand manufacturer or brand owner, and you sell them on Amazon, as opposed to private labeling, when you're basically either buying an existing product, but from a factory, mostly in China or wherever it is, and then creating your own sort of brand around it, or even customizing and creating kind of your own custom product. So quite different business models. I don't think they have to be in opposition. Some people do both, and Dylan does indeed, but I think it's important to put these things in context and to know there's more than one way of making money on Amazon, and to educate yourself about the differences to see what's right for you personally. Now, I'm not in a position to train anyone else in wholesale sourcing because I haven't done it personally, but I'm certainly very, very interested in exploring it. And I think if you have the wish to explore Amazon private labeling, you'd be very well advised to at least educate yourself about wholesale sourcing as a possible alternative, or indeed, if you're an advanced seller, additional business model. So stay tuned, take notes, and if you're interested in the upcoming training that Dylan mentions at the end of this stuff, there's going to be a lot of free training coming out from The Wholesale Formula soon. Then the easiest thing you can do is just email me, michael@amazingfba.com, and just write wholesale training in the subject line so that I can add you to any lists to get you in the loop and keep you in the loop. Enjoy the show. I guess this is one of the interesting differences between the private label market and the wholesale market is the question of price. So I guess we're coming well away from the sort of really global picture to the more the nitty gritty, but I think they all tie in together because my experience with my Belgian friend or client selling in bol.com was that obviously the price you can get for a very standard thing was almost into Q4 double what you could sell it for normally there, and probably I would guess, I don't know what, 10%, 10 to 20% higher than the American equivalent price, which could be your profit, right? So I would say that for the private label world, it's a very competitive market. It means that the sales are meaningless because every single sale is at a loss or just break even. Now, how does that work in the wholesale world? Do you actually have a really good solid bottom to the price which it doesn't go below, or do you find that in real life it doesn't work as neatly as that?
Well, so with wholesale and the way that we do it, so our method of wholesale is we call it wholesale, but we don't use wholesalers or distributors. We don't buy from any wholesalers or distributors. We buy our product direct from the brand owner themselves. So you could call that manufacturer direct or call it brand owner direct. So that means when we buy a branded product wholesale, we are buying it at the absolute bottom, lowest price that anyone can buy it to resell it for, which in many cases, or like the absolute bottom lowest, which means that we have the best opportunity to make the most amount of profit, and we have the best opportunity to make it difficult for people to compete with us because of that price. So what I mean by that is if I'm selling one of the products that I sell, because I bought it direct from the brand at the lowest price, there were no markups, there was no middleman involved, anyone that's buying that product through a wholesaler or a distributor is not going to be able to compete with me because they just paid more for the product. And if they paid more for the product, then I'm always going to be able to earn more profit than them. I'm going to be earning profit when they're at break even or at a loss. And the other part of the other side of this that also helps to ensure profitability is that many of these companies have what's called a MAP, or a minimum advertised price. And this means that they have rules in place that you can't work with them and you can't sell their product unless you agree not to sell the product below a certain price, which creates a level of integrity around profit. It means there isn't this race to the bottom where everyone is just trying to outcompete each other and beat each other with price. And some, you know, if someone's willing to just make 6 cents profit, that's not happening so much because of those minimum advertised prices. everyone has a comfortable amount of profit baked in, because that benefits everybody. That benefits the brand because it keeps their price integrity and the value integrity of their product and brand, and it helps all of the sellers as well. So that's another way that you can kind of have guaranteed profits in the sales of your product, because you're dealing with a real brand who has those kind of things in place, which is different from the world of private label where you're competing against each other, you know, cutthroat competing against each other to try to win.
Yeah, by the way, that single point, and I think it seems like if you're new to e-commerce or you haven't got your feet wet with it yet, that may seem like one small point amongst many. I think that's actually probably the single most important for me about the entire business model, apart from the fact that, you know, the other side, which is that you don't have to develop a product that people may not actually want, which is, okay, de-risking it. But even if you manage to get through that, the heart-rending thing with the private labeling, sometimes it depends on how well you've created a product and how well you've assessed the market and how unique the product is and so forth. But it's quite often the case that you'll create something really great, it works really, really well, and then everyone kind of basically copies it. If they actually literally copied it and you've got a patent, you can get a lawyer involved, but sometimes it's close but not exactly the same. You can't get a lawyer involved, and the price just drops out of the market. And that's really such a major thing, that the small single point of price, I think, is actually a major, major point of doing wholesale, possibly instead of private labeling, possibly as well. I mean, tell me a bit about, by the way, I've just brought up the other reason, I guess, why, you know, there's a great reason to do wholesale, which is that you've got proven products in terms of sales. So how real is that perception of mine? I guess, is the grass just greener on the other side? Is it still a risk? Or is there something more solid about the sales of a product historically being predictable into the future as well?
Well, there's a lot of positives to many of these different ways that you can sell on Amazon, right? So there's huge positives and huge upsides for private label. And I would argue that the upside for private label is significantly higher than it is for wholesale, right? It's one of those kind of things like, you know, your upside is higher, but maybe your risk is higher as well, right? With wholesale, your risk is a lot lower and your upside's a little bit lower. So it's just more, I think that's a fine way of being able to look at it. But I can talk in just reference to some of the brands that I've sold over the years, right? And so, like, our second biggest account, our second biggest wholesale account, is an exclusive account. The company, that's a dog paw wax. Like, I'm another one of those people, I actually don't care to tell you the products that we sell. Super transparent about that. It's a dog paw wax called Musher's Secret. It goes on dogs' paws or on their snout to protect them in extreme weather conditions, whether it's snow, keeping them from getting dried out or damaged in snow, or in hot pavement and extreme heat, right? That company's been around for like 50 years. It's a well-established brand that people had been buying before the internet even existed, you know, before it was invented, right? And so it has all of that guaranteed demand and guaranteed sales, and we just kind of helped tap into that. So they had, when we started working with them several years ago, they were doing about $1 million a year in sales, or $700,000 a year in sales their product was on Amazon. And that was with some of the worst product listings you've ever seen. Basically just a picture of the product and a couple bullets, right? And it was still selling well like that because people knew the brand, and that's what they had always bought, right? And what we came in and did with them was updated everything, improved their listings, made them look fantastic, you know, 10 out of 10 quality listings, or at least best that we could, maybe not 10 out of 10, but we'll say as good as we could possibly make them. And we're just coming off a year with them where they've done somewhere in the ballpark of $3 million in sales for the year, right? So it's like they always had that floor of $700,000 a year just based on their brand name and who they were, and that there was just built-in demand for their product already, which was great for us. But then we were able to, and this is the other thing too, and I'm maybe getting too deep in the weeds for people here, but that's another great part about wholesale and working with existing brands, is because they already have so many existing customers or an existing demand and a constant stream of sales. If you are able to make changes to their listing that increase conversion, because they already have all that traffic and sales, it just makes their speed that they grow even faster. Hopefully that makes sense to people that are listening, because they have that built-in demand and they have that built-in traffic. Optimizations to their listing are faster and better than many other kind of products.
Absolutely makes sense to me. So in other words, if you think of it in a simple way, that if you have massive lines out the door in order to go to a certain store to buy a popular product with a mediocre salesman, but the product is so good that it sells itself kind of thing. If you replace the mediocre salesman with an incredible salesman and you still have lines out the door, then you're going to get even more people buying stuff. They probably buy more when they come in, or they'll buy at a high price point, or out of 100 people that visit the store instead of 20 or 30 of them buying, maybe 30, 40, 50 of them buying. No, 100%. And in a way, we get too confused and too in love with the fact that things are digital. Digital interfaces still have humans on the other end. That they're the people who actually spend the money, right? And in the end, it comes down to human psychology. A conversion is a person being persuaded to value your product on, you know, in your warehouse, wherever that may be, or in your shop, more than the money in their pocket, right? And I think that that balance always has to be shifted. And I think people overrate the importance sometimes of the digital aspects. I mean, obviously, yes, you have to be expert in that and you have to get good at that particular channel. But in the end, sales is sales and traffic is traffic. I don't really care that much personally whether I own a restaurant which has lines around the block or whether I've got some food delivery thing online which has a bunch of people visiting it from Google traffic. You know, and I don't really care whether there's a person on the phone selling or whether it's a website, because from the black box point of view, system thinking, if you like, you put money at the beginning and then money comes out the other end, right? So in a way, you need two things, traffic and conversions. So I really like the fact you put your finger on that. And yeah, and obviously, if you got what you've got with the wholesale opportunity that strikes you so strongly compared to private label, it's like you've got a brand that's been around for 50 years. By definition, if I start a private label company now, my brand will in 6 months time being around for 6 months, right? You cannot compete in the same way. Our new partner for today's episode is Ovals, the stock management experts. According to Retail Dive, e-commerce store owners lost $22 billion in sales because of being out of stock. 15% of consumers actually switched sites to buy the item if they encountered an out of stock product online. Don't let that be your customer. Ovals can help you avoid these mistakes. With Ovals, you can check for stock errors and improve inventory accuracy to increase sales. Ovals want to help you grow your sales with a free inventory accuracy cheat sheet. All our listeners will get 2 months of an Ovals paid plan for free. You can get your free months by visiting ovals.io/amazingfba. That's ovalz.io/amazing, F for Freddie, B for Bertie, A for Alpha. So tell me a little bit about because you do both, right? I know you guys have, you know, you've got a big wholesale business, which you've also done some private label products. So since we're on that, this is like my home turf, I guess, the private label thing. What would you say are the other differences? So you mentioned there are up and down sides. What are the other significant differences? Let's start with the upsides of wholesale compared to private label.
Yeah, and I do both, for, you know, just full disclosure. We have $1 million a year private label business as well. So it's like, you know, we're diversified. We identify that both have these positives that we want to tap into, right? But wholesale, so like the big positives of wholesale, not even just comparing it to anything, but number one, it's fast to market. So when you, from getting a wholesale account to having the product listed live on Amazon, can be as quickly as 2 weeks after you got approved. You make that call to the brand owner, they want to work with you, they authorize you. And certainly when you're working in the United States, it's the inventory is very mobile. They've got it on hand and you they've approved you and they're just like, okay, so you make the order right there on the phone and they are shipping it to Amazon's warehouses the next day and Amazon receives it. So within a week or 2 weeks, you are live and selling versus something like private label where, you know, the fastest that you can get a product live and to market typically if you're ordering from China or overseas, you know, 3, 6 months, 9 months, it can take a long time. So you're very quick to market with any ideas or any concepts. And another thing that where that's useful with wholesale is you can take advantage of any market factors or conditions very quickly. You can pivot on a dime to things that are happening. We saw that, like the examples of us this year, I don't want to say Pokemon got popular again. Pokemon is always very, very popular, but and in 2020, it had a real revitalization where it went from very popular to very, very, very popular again to do some certain things here in quarter four. So we were able to make some pivots and order more and work with more Pokemon vendors and sell more Pokemon products and toys and cards and games and stuff like that once we saw the trends. Whereas if you were trying in a private label market, it would take you to be able to come to market and take you by the time you could take advantage of that, it would have passed. The opportunity would have passed, right? Same kind of thing with COVID this year. There were lots of products that people were buying, whether it were face masks or whether it were, there were a lot of basically new commerce that was created through COVID. I knew all these different hand sanitizers. That was a product that we were able to sell this year, were hand sanitizer packets, things like that, that where if you were trying to manufacture those items yourself, by the time that you were able to get them in, much of the opportunity may have passed, but where we were wholesale, we were just able to easily start buying the existing stuff, the successful stuff, get it listed and sold, and so it can get into the hands of the people that need it. Really, that was the most important thing, or really fast, right? So that's one example. Obviously, cash flow is another thing about wholesale, is you don't have to buy 6 months or, you know, 3 months worth of inventory. You can buy as much inventory as you want with wholesale. Typically, that meets a threshold of their minimum order quantities, which will surprise you how low that they can be. Many brands are happy when they're happy to work with you and they want to work with you because they believe in you or they believe that you can help them succeed. Your minimum order quantity can be $500 worth of product, right? They're willing to work with you at those kind of levels. So you can buy as much as you want. You don't need to buy tons and tons of inventory because it's being shipped across the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean to get to you. There are some other big things here is that you are networking with wholesale. That's also a huge advantage because you are working with other companies, real businesses, and you're creating business relationships that lead to other opportunities, other business opportunities. You can get referrals. We get referrals from our brands that they lead us to other friends or other companies in their industries that need help or that want our help or want to work with us as well. So business leads to business, leads to more business, which is another big thing that's super valuable for you. All those case studies and all that networking and relationship building that you're able to create, because that's what business can be all about, are those relationships.
That's very, very interesting. And I really hadn't thought properly before. And this is strange because I've talked to you and Dan so much about wholesale in the past. But the fact that you're networking all the time is a really big plus that I hadn't really thought about. And actually, if you compare it to the lonely private label seller, you can network as a private label seller, but you tend to end up networking with other private label sellers who are either in a different industry or their direct competition, in which case you have to have very cautious conversations. Whereas if you're networking with somebody you have a business relationship because you buy their products and then you help them sell, so a wholesale type relationship, then obviously you're not directly competing and I guess they have related but non-competing business friends. And that so makes sense. And that's actually quite that's not a startup focused thought so much as an expansion possibility thought, a scaling possibility, but quite organic as well. I really, really like that. The other things are much more, I think, things that really appeal to people, whether they're just starting out or whether they're just fed up with tying their money up for 6 months at a time, because cash flow is so, so critical. That's something people don't talk about enough, I think. And that's something we might get you back on, or Dan, to talk about at some point, if you will, because the working capital requirements, which I've struggled to find spreadsheets to really calculate this properly, and I think I've found the ones finally, for a business that turns over stock in, say, a month or 6 weeks, is vastly different from a business that buys units that cost the same amount per unit and sell for the same money, but you buy them for 6 months worth of stock at one point. So tell me a bit about cash flow. I mean, in reality, let's ask a slightly more challenging question. If I start with, say, $2,000 and I can start a wholesale business with that, am I really going to have to go and get some more money to scale it? Or does it really just kind of keep scaling organically from a really low starting point?
Yeah, you can. So that's one of the benefits of wholesale, is you can scale relatively quickly, certainly compared to other business models, because of the cash flow. So let's say $2,000, which is generally what we recommend as a minimum, would recommend that you, Dan and I started with much less than that many years ago, but we don't recommend trying to make it that hard on yourself. So we recommend people start with at least $2,000 to make purchases with. And what we do and what we recommend is you buy 30 to 45 days worth of inventory. So let's think about it from the perspective of buying 30 days worth of inventory. If you spend $2,000 and you buy 30 days worth of inventory, that means you're going to have your investment back in 30 days. And we recommend, and like a common ROI is around a 30% ROI on products. You know, so that means if you spend $10, you get $13 back on that investment, right? So you're growing that your investment about 30% every single month, effectively, is like a fair way to look at it, right? 30% growth on your investment every single month, because you are selling things so quickly. So it's about speed of investment. Maybe your margin, your profit margin, right? Because that's a fallacy that people have a lot of times, is about margin. Margin isn't the be all end all. The most profitable companies in the world, the most successful companies in the world, actually have these tiny margins, but they have these gigantic cash flows and gigantic rate of growth. Amazon's a good example of that. They have a small profit margin, but their speed of the reinvestment is so high and fast, they outpace everybody that has that higher margin, right? And so that's what you do. So if you do that math, if you look at, like, if I have a 30% increase on my investment every month, in a perfect world, you can do the math yourself. It's pretty easy to do. From $2,000 in like 2 years, you'll have $1 million.
That's pretty scary. I mean, scary in a good way, but obviously I just say, as you say, in a perfect world, I imagine it gets some bumps along the road, but even if...
Nothing
in real life is as neat as a spreadsheet, but you make a very good point. And I really love the fact, I was about to say, like Amazon, and you said the words like Amazon. Yeah, Amazon is not run for profit. And like Jeff Bezos spent, about a decade in Wall Street after studying physics. I'm like a super sharp guy. And he knows the difference between profit and loss and cash flow and all these different things, right? And he runs it for, if you make a profit, you get taxed on it apart from anything else. He's not stupid. And I'm going to talk about corporate tax strategy because that's way out of my pay grade. But just to say, I really, really endorse what you're saying. Cash flow is everything. I mean, especially in a capital intensive business, like any physical product business, you know, wholesale or profit, private label, or for that matter, scaling up an arbitrage business, online arbitrage, whatever. Same thing. You're tying money up in product. The speed at which you can turn that back into cash is everything. So I cannot stress that enough. From so many of the businesses I've seen, the big limit to growth in a private label business is capital, because it ties it up for so long. Yeah. On the other hand, you know, I've seen people do incredibly well with it. So I love the fact that you do both wholesale and private label within your own businesses, and that you're open to that fact. So I think that's really healthy, because there's a lot of silos in the sort of Amazon world, which is narrow enough anyway, because there is a much big world outside of selling on Amazon. Yes, it's a big percentage of e-commerce, but it is not all of e-commerce, and the fact that, you know, there are different characteristics of different business models is something I think that I like the fact you're open to that. And I'm really trying to get that message across this year, because just to sort of wrap this up, as I said to you before we got on the call, really what I want to do this year and next year, 2021 and beyond, is to kind of present people with different business models so that they can choose themselves the exact match between a business model and themselves and where they're at. And then if I'm not qualified to teach that business model, give them on to people who are trusted, people who I totally know are going to take care of them. And you and Dan are absolutely clearly the masters of that. So if people want to hear more from you and get training with the wholesale formula, where do they go to get more input from you?
Yeah. So you can check out thewholesaleformula.com to read more about us. And then we also have a blog on there with some articles that you can check out to learn more about what our business model is and what we do. And just stay tuned with Michael, actually, because we're going to have a really big training that we're going to do. We do these about once a year, a really big training that's coming up in February. We haven't announced it officially yet, but if you just stay tuned, Michael knows, he knows the dates, and he'll be sending them out, give you an opportunity to learn from us for free how we sell on Amazon. We do that once a year, teach and train people the exact model that we use in great depth. So just stay tuned for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be letting people know this. And one of the reasons I think we've just discussed, I mean, I think there's so many things that are great about private labeling and so many challenging things. And wholesale, I think, really counterbalances those in a lot of ways. And for people who are at the early stages, I think quite often these days I advise them, I say, look, this isn't my interest, because I only train really in private label, but I don't think you're in a position to do private label. You might want to consider wholesale. And at that point, I want to be able to pass them on to somebody who's going to serve them well, and often I can't. So this is, yeah, something that I'm very, very happy that you guys are doing, because I think this is a great model that people really should be considering. And I also know that it's a model that quietly without fussing about it. Some of my clients are making, you know, million, $2 million a year at a good profit. And they're also the reason that they're my clients because they come to add private label to that. So it's not either or in the end. I think it's great to learn different model. And I think compared to online arbitrage, retail arb and private labeling, for whatever reason, at least in my perception of the world, wholesale has not been talked about enough. And I think it's a kind of neglected area. So it's great that you guys are really sort of, you know, flying the flag for it, shall we say. So just remains to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, obviously running very big Amazon operation and then running not an insubstantial training company that's got $1 billion worth of sales from its students. So really appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.